Rosary. Yeah, the Rosary really is like a pocket New Testament. You know, you can't always carry your Bible with you, but you can always carry your Rosary in your pocket. Whenever we say the Rosary, it's like meditating upon the heart of the New Testament. I call the Rosary my New Testament cliff notes. Remember college days and you had to read Great Expectations or something really thick? You get out those cliff notes and it gives you the gist of what the book is all about, whether it be Gone with the Wind or some other classic. So the Rosary is our New Testament cliff notes. If you just want to get to the heart of the New Testament, then we can pray the Rosary. Now, it should not replace the reading of sacred scripture, just like I'm sure none of us ever just used the cliff notes to replace the big book, right? We used it as a means to refresh our memory on what we had already read in the large volume. So the Rosary is the same way, that after we have studied and read the New Testament, we can meditate upon the life, the death, the resurrection of our Lord by praying the Rosary. So the Rosary truly is a pocket New Testament or a pocket Bible. I also consider the Rosary to be like a pocket catechism, that whenever we're praying the Rosary, we're actually learning the truths of our Catholic faith, the truths that are contained in the Apostles' Creed, in the Our Father, in the Hail Mary, and in the mysteries of the Rosary, and meditating upon really the most important events in the life of our Lord and the Blessed Mother. I know many people that actually say all 15 decades of the Rosary every day because they want to meditate upon the entire life of Christ from His conception, His birth, through the sufferings, the death, the resurrection, His ascension, and then when He sent the Holy Spirit and then received Our Lady back up into heaven and then crowned her as Queen of Heaven and Earth. So there are many people who actually want to get the whole life of Christ every day, and they say all 15 decades. Now, we might not be able to do that, but we should at least say a decade a day. Remember, a decade a day keeps the devil away. Probably heard that. I think I mentioned, might have mentioned last time I was here that I saw a T-shirt at a religious goods store, and it said, call your mother. Pray the Rosary. Your blessed mother hasn't heard from you in decades. Pretty cute. So perhaps at least say a decade a day. And if possible, try to say five of the mysteries. Maybe, you know, one day choose the sorrowful, one day the glorious, one day the joyful. And the Church has it broken up for us that usually on Mondays we say the joyful mysteries, Tuesday the sorrowful mysteries, Wednesday the glorious, Thursday joyful, Friday sorrowful because of Good Friday, Saturday glorious, and then Sunday, it depends on the time of year. If it's during Advent, it's a joyful. If it's during Lent, you say the sorrowful on Sundays. If it's during the rest of the year, you say the glorious on Sundays. What I've preferred, though, is that during Lent, for the 40 days of Lent, say the sorrowful mysteries every day. You know, God will forgive you for not saying the joyful and the glorious just for those 40 days. But if you meditate every day upon the sorrowful mysteries, Lent will remain foremost in your mind. The passion, the sufferings, and death of our Lord will remain present in your mind if you say the sorrowful every day during Lent. Also, you should say the joyful mysteries every day during Advent. Between the beginning of December and Christmas, say the joyful mysteries every day. And then after Pentecost, during the time when the Church is celebrating the resurrection, say the glorious every day during that time, from the time of the resurrection until Ascension Thursday, actually until Pentecost, really. And then we go back to ordinary time. So this is one way in which we can really make the Rosary seasonal and can help us to meditate upon the life of our Lord. Now, Father Ken Roberts says, whenever we say the Rosary, we should, during the joyful mysteries, ask Mary, how did it feel to experience those mysteries? And then during the sorrowful mysteries, ask Jesus, how did it feel to go through that suffering and death? And then the glorious mysteries, we would say early Church, early Christians, how did it feel to experience the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord? And he says it takes 10 Hail Marys to get into the mystery. People say, why is it, you know, one Our Father and 10 Hail Marys? Doesn't that mean we're praying to Mary 10 times as much as we're praying to God? Not at all. That's like somebody saying, well, why are all the holy days all in honor of Mary. I said that's because we have 52 holy days in honor of Jesus. Namely, every single Sunday is a holy day in honor of Jesus. We only have, you know, 5 or 6 in honor of Mary. So the rosary is valuable because while we're saying those Hail Marys, that's just the background music. We're actually meditating upon the life of Christ. The rosary really is Christocentric. People think it's a Marian prayer, and it is, but it's a Marian Christ-centered prayer. Whenever we sing the rosary, we're really focused upon the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. In fact, 12 of the mysteries are focused on Jesus, from his conception through the presentation in the temple, and then his birth, and all the other mysteries are focused on Jesus. The Holy Spirit we think about during Pentecost, and we think about Mary at the Assumption and the coronation. But 12 out of 15 of the decades are really focused on the life of Christ. So never let it be said that the rosary is all just focused on Mary and not on Jesus. Let your brothers and sisters of other faiths know that we're really meditating upon the life of Jesus, his joys, his sorrows, and his glories. So Father Robert says, when you're meditating upon the rosary during those joyful mysteries, for example, the Annunciation, say, Mary, how did it feel to have the angel Gabriel come to you and say, are you willing to give birth to the Son of God? And then meditate upon how that must have felt for the Blessed Mother. And then do that through all the joyful mysteries. Mary, what did it feel like to have to get up and to travel all that way to visit your cousin Elizabeth? Or what did it feel like to give birth to Jesus in that manger in Bethlehem when there was no room at the inn? I always tell people I'm very happy that there was no room at the inn, because they would have had to change the names of the song from Away in the Manger. If there was room at the hotel, they had to sing Away at the Marriott or something like that. They couldn't sing Away in the Manger and all these good songs about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. So then when we get to the sorrowful mysteries, we think, Jesus, what did it feel like to sweat blood in the agony in the garden? How did it feel to sweat blood? How did it feel to be scourged? How did it feel to be crowned with thorns? Because it takes 10 Hail Marys to really enter into that mystery and to pray with the heart. That's why I like the rosary, because it's not only a prayer of the mind when we're using our imagination to enter in to the mystery and actually place ourselves at the foot of the cross or at the manger or on the Via Dolorosa, but not only is it a prayer of the mind, but it's a prayer of the heart. And every time we pray the rosary, we should be praying with our heart. And it's also a prayer with our lips, because when we say it in public, we're praying with our lips and praising God that way. But it's also praying with our hand. And many of the good Christian and Catholic psychologists tell us that whenever we say the rosary, it's good therapy. Did you know that? Just like weaving or knitting, it gets out tension and stress. So the rosary is a tremendous way to pray, not only with your mind, with your lips, and with your heart, but also with your fingers. And it can reduce levels of stress and anxiety and worry just by praying the rosary and moving those beads. So it's been shown by many outstanding Catholic doctors to be very beneficial that way. So then in the Glorious Mysteries, we ask the early Christians, how did it feel when you found out that Jesus had risen from the dead? How did it feel when he ascended into heaven? How did it feel when the Holy Spirit came down upon you at Pentecost and when Mary was taken up into heaven, and to know that Mary was crowned as the Queen of heaven and earth? So this is one way in which we can gain a deeper understanding of the rosary and really meditate upon the life of Jesus and his Blessed Mother. Last night, we talked about Our Lady's call to reform our lives through making reparation for sin, through the recitation of the rosary, offering sacrifice, consecrating our lives to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Tonight, I wanted to focus on one of those means to help reform our lives, and that is the Holy Rosary. Without a doubt, our Blessed Mother wants us to say the rosary. When she appeared on February 11, 1858, to Bernadette at Lourdes, she had the rosary over her right elbow. It's a saying that actions speak louder than words. Notice when she came in 1858, it was over her right arm.
1917, May 13th, the rosary had moved to her hand. She spoke to the children and she said, "Pray the rosary every day. Continue to pray the rosary. I want you to pray the rosary." Our Lady called herself the Lady of the Rosary. The Blessed Mother has 1,600 titles. She could have chosen her most exalted title, the Mother of God. Or she could have chosen her second most exalted title, the Immaculate Conception. But no, she chose the title, the Lady of the Rosary. 1932 to 1933, from November 29th to January 3rd, the Blessed Mother appeared 33 times in Berang, Belgium, to 5 children. And this time, the rosary had moved from her hand to her fingertips. From 1858 to 1917 to 1933, every time Our Lady has appeared, by her actions as well as her words, she has asked the people and us to pray the rosary. 28 out of 33 of those times that Mary appeared to the children fell down on their knees on the gravel and went into ecstasy and said the rosary. As they prayed the rosary, doctors came up and tried to see if these children were faking it or whether it was authentic. They stuck the children with pins. They didn't hurt. They didn't bleed. They put lighters, cigarette lighters, underneath their hands. It did them no harm. 3 strong men tried to pick up one 70-pound girl, and they couldn't budge her. They were wrapped in ecstasy, saying the rosary. When the children had finished saying the rosary each night, the theologians that were there, the church officials, asked them, why would they suddenly fall down and pray the rosary? You know what they said? They said, "We had no choice. The Blessed Mother forced us to say the rosary." That's how much the Blessed Mother wants rosaries. Even one rosary makes a world of difference. I want to tell you a story of how one rosary, just one person saying one rosary, made the entire world a better place. In the year 1840, a 19-year-old university student in Paris was having a crisis in his Catholic faith. He wasn't sure whether he believed or not. He staggered into the back of a Catholic church, and he saw a man praying his rosary very devoutly and very reverently. As soon as this university student saw this man, and he was the only one in church, his crisis of faith vanished, and his faith was reaffirmed. Well, that man praying the rosary was Professor André Ampère from the University of Paris. We know him as a famous inventor and scientist. We get the word amplifier from him. We get the word amps from this Catholic scientist, Catholic inventor. The young man who had his faith strengthened that night was Frederick Ozanam, who the next year founded the St. Vincent de Paul Society in the year 1842. The St. Vincent de Paul Society is now in every diocese, every country of the world. And from the St. Vincent de Paul Society in 1921 came the Legion of Mary, which grew out of the St. Vincent de Paul Society. So that one man praying the one rosary in the front of that church did not even realize that his one rosary would affect the lives of millions and millions of people, even down to today, with all the tremendous work that the St. Vincent de Paul Society is doing in feeding the poor, in clothing the poor, and all the tremendous spiritual works of mercy that the Legion of Mary is doing. Another story. The year 1891, a train was going from Dijon to Paris, and on this train was an elderly man praying his rosary. Sitting across from him was a young university student holding a big stack of textbooks. The old man got out his rosary and began to pray his rosary. The young man looked over at him and said, "I see you still believe in that silly superstition." The old man says, "Yes, I do. Don't you?" The university student said, "Well, I used to until I went to the university and became educated. And he began to try to enlighten this elderly man, and eventually the train came to a stop, and they were running out of time. So the young man says, well, do you know how to read? And the old man said, yeah, I can read. Well, can you give me your address, and I'll mail you some books so you can become enlightened, so you can get rid of those unscientific and superstitious things like the rosary. But the old man reached in his pocket and pulled out his business card, and the young man got the shock of his life. You've probably heard the story. Louis Pasteur, Department of Research, University of Paris. The old man was one of the most brilliant scientists of his day, praying his rosary beads as he went to work each day to teach in the university. I have a feeling that young man never sent any of those science books. Dr. Louis Pasteur, of course, became famous in his purification process for milk. I tell the kids in my parish, I want you to go home, go to the kitchen, open up the refrigerator, take out the carton of milk, and look for the word pasteurized on the milk. You'll be drinking Catholic milk if you do that. The kids love it. They all go home and say, Mommy, I learned something at school today. The third story I want to tell you is about Bartolo Longo. Anybody ever hear of him? Bartolo Longo was born in 1841 in Naples. He went to the University of Naples, and there he abandoned his Catholic faith. He got involved in the occult, he got involved in Satanism, and he was even ordained a high priest in the Church of Satan. His friends kept praying for him. One of his friends, named Vincent, prayed the rosary for him every single day from the time he left the Catholic faith. Eventually, Vincent was able to convince Bartolo to get out of the satanic movement, to abandon this occult group. And he taught Bartolo to pray the rosary. And he began to pray the rosary, and pretty soon he broke away from the satanic cult. Our Blessed Mother appeared to Bartolo on October 9th, 1872, and spoke these words. See, Bartolo, even though he left the satanic movement, since he was ordained a priest in the Church of Satan, he figured he could never be saved. He figured there was a place waiting for him in hell, and there was no way God could ever have mercy on him. Our Blessed Mother appeared to him in one of his deepest moments of despair and said to him, if you seek salvation, spread the Holy Rosary. He then spent the rest of his life, next 40 years, propagating the Holy Rosary. He even built today the beautiful shrine. He's the one who built the shrine of Our Lady of the Rosary in Pompeii, the national shrine to Our Blessed Mother. He died in 1926, and he was beatified by Pope John Paul II in October of 1980. He's the only former Satanist, the only former high priest in the Church of Satan that has ever been canonized, beatified in the Catholic faith. Isn't that an incredible story? You can fall so far away from God and still His mercy abounds. I think it was St. Bridget who said that as long as a person has breath in their body, they still have a chance to get to heaven. In fact, I saw that on one of your statues out there. As I walked around to see your 200 statues, here's the Fatima Shrine. Another story. A friend of Padre Pio's, who's a priest, was talking with Padre Pio one day, and he knew that Padre Pio always said about 15 rosaries every day, which is a lot. Padre Pio was very busy, spent most of his time hearing confessions and saying Mass and giving spiritual direction. And his friend asked him, yes, yesterday, how many rosaries did you say? Did you say you're 15? Yes. Did you say 20? Yes. 30? Yes. 50? Yes. 100? Yes. 150? Yes. 160? Yep, I said 160 rosaries yesterday. Isn't that incredible? And this comes from a priest who was an intimate and close friend of Padre Pio. Incredible. How could he say 160 rosaries in one day? It's humanly impossible. Of course, he could also bilocate, so maybe he was saying two at the same time, right? He had it a little bit easier than we would. My own grandmother had a great love for the rosary. She died at the age of 93, about 7 or 8 years ago. She was completely deaf. She was almost blind. She couldn't read any longer. She couldn't watch any TV. She just sat in her chair in the living room, and she said, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 rosaries a day. And she had all different kinds of rosaries. She had a rosary like this, and a big rosary with big beads, another rosary. And each one she would pick up and say, now, Francis, this one's for you. This one's for you, and this one's for your sisters, and this one's for the souls in purgatory, and this one is for the Pope. And she probably thought it was still Pius IX or something. She probably hadn't heard of any of the Popes since in the last 50 years. But she prayed the rosary every single day. And she was a great blessing to my family and to myself, that's for sure. In fact, Bishop Sheen says that if you take care of someone, let's say someone who's handicapped or retarded or an elderly grandmother, that you will get special graces for your family if you do that. And everybody I know that's done that, that's taken care of a loved one or a person who has maybe a Down syndrome or whatever, their family will get special graces and blessings from God. And I did see that in my family. Another story. How many of you have heard of Louis Kazmarek? Anybody? Louis Kazmarek takes the International Pilgrim Virgin statue around of Our Lady of Fatima. This is a statue that has wept over 25 times. Incredible. Louis Kazmarek is a layman, and he was in the military, in the Air Force, and in Illinois a number of years ago. He had promised our Blessed Mother that he was going to say his rosary every day. And one day he had to be working the shifts where he had to stay up all night answering the calls if the Red Cross called. So he was up for 38 straight hours. And Louis Kazmarek figured, oh, I just have to go to sleep. I'm just so beat, so tired. And as he knelt down to say his night prayers, he remembered he hadn't said his rosary for that day. And says, oh, surely I don't have to say my rosary. I'm just so tired. Surely Blessed Mother will understand. So he crawled into bed and he was about to doze off to sleep. He just said a little prayer in his own heart. In fact, the whole barracks was empty. He was the only one in there. His rosary was hanging on the bunk above his bed on the bar. And he always put the rosary on the bunk just like this. That way it could not come off. He said, Blessed Mother, if that one rosary means that much to you, then give me a sign. He's falling fast asleep, and all of a sudden he hears this. The rosary untangles and falls to the floor. He was shocked. He sprang up in bed. He said he knelt down and prayed the most devout rosary he ever said in his life. He said that's how much the Blessed Mother wanted him to pray that rosary. Bishop Hugh O'Boyle from Ireland said that no one can live continually in sin and continue to pray the rosary. Either he will give up his sin or he will give up saying the rosary. See, one or the other has to go. A person cannot continue to pray the rosary every single day devoutly and continue to live in sin. They are incompatible. Either one or the other will go. Bishop Sheen said that if you teach a person of another faith to pray the rosary, they will either stop saying the rosary or they'll become a Catholic. Isn't that great? So I encourage you to teach the rosary. As Bishop Sheen also said, the best book written on the rosary in the last 25 years is written by a Methodist minister, J. Neville Ward. He wrote a book called 5 for Sorrow, 10 for Joy. How many of you have heard of Father Gobi with the Man Moving the Priest? Father Gobi said a powerful thing. He said, whoever prays the rosary every day, every member of that family will be saved. You probably heard that. It's not infallible, but it comes from someone who I think is very close to God and to our Blessed Mother. Father Suarez said, Father Suarez was a Spanish Jesuit, he said, I will trade all my learning and knowledge for one devoutly prayed Hail Mary. St. Louis de Montfort said, it's better to say 10 Hail Marys devoutly than 1,000 rosaries poorly and without attention. The popes have written incredible things about the rosary. Did you know that between the year 1402 and the present, there have been 502 papal encyclicals on the Rosary? 502 papal encyclicals on the Rosary since the year 1402. No other devotion has received as much approval and blessing as this Rosary. Pope John Paul II said, "The Rosary is my favorite prayer." He has given out hundreds of thousands of rosaries. Every time you meet him, he gives you a rosary. The beautiful thing. Every time he meets anyone, whether it be out in Denver or some other place, he always gives that person a rosary. You probably read St. Louis de Montfort, where it says that if you give someone a rosary or teach someone how to pray the rosary, or if you make a rosary and someone says it, you receive a special grace. Did you know that? That if you can get people praying the rosary, every time they pray, God blesses you in a special way. So the Pope is very sneaky, right? He's very smart. He figures if he gives out hundreds of thousands of rosaries, whenever they say the rosary, he's going to get special grace for that. The Pope, whenever the Pope is in town in the Vatican, he'll lead the rosary himself on Vatican radio. That there's been many stories where bishops and cardinals have gone over to Rome and have talked to the Holy Father and said, "Holy Father, we have this problem in the diocese, we have this problem in the diocese, what can we do about it?" And the Pope opens up his drawer and he gives him the rosary and he says, "This is the answer for all your problems." And more than one bishop has said that after they came back from their out-of-limit visit, that the Pope gave them the rosary and said, "This will solve your problems." The Pope before John Paul II was John Paul I, only Pope for 33 days, and yet he said, "Pray the rosary for peace." Before that was Paul VI. In 1965, he wrote an encyclical where he asked the people to pray the rosary. 1967, he said, "Pray the rosary for world peace." Before him was John XXIII. From 1958 to 1963, he spoke out 38 times on the power of the rosary. He even wore the rosary around his neck. A lot of people don't realize that John XXIII always wore the rosary around his neck underneath his papal garments. He prayed 15 decades of the rosary every day. He called it the school of perfection in which you can acquire every virtue. Before him was Pius XII, who also said 15 decades of the rosary every single day. And these folks, of course, are much busier than you and I, and yet they can pray 15 decades of the rosary every single day. There was a little saying that we always wish we were somebody else, right? The assistant pastor says, "You know, I wish I was the pastor, then I could really, you know, make this parish hum. I wish," then the pastors are thinking, "If I were only the bishop, then I could really turn this diocese around." The bishops say, "If only I were a cardinal, then I'd really have some impact." The cardinals say, "If only I were the pope, then I could really help the church." The pope probably thinks, "If only I were an assistant pastor again, you know, without all those cares and worries." The popes are incredibly busy, and yet, John XXIII, Pius XII, both said 15 decades of the rosary every day. Before him was Pius XI, who every time he married a couple, gave them rosaries as wedding gifts. Benedict XV also says 15 decades of the rosary every day. And Pope Pius X, St. Pius X, said, "Give me 1 million families praying the rosary every day, and the entire world will be saved." He said, "Of all the prayers, the rosary is the most beautiful and the richest in graces. It's the most pleasing to Mary." The Pope said, "Love the rosary and recite it every day." And Pope Leo XIII wrote 16 encyclicals just on the rosary. He called it the remedy of all evils and the root of all our blessings. He said, "Among the many ways of praying, there is none more excellent than the rosary." Before him was Pius IX. He said, "Give me an army to say the rosary and I will conquer the world." One day he was giving a tour to some of his friends and he was taking them through the Vatican. And they said, "Holy Father, what's the greatest treasure in the Vatican?" They came to the Pietà. At that time it was worth $16 million. He said, "Holy Father, is that the greatest treasure in the Vatican?" He said, "No." And they went to the Sistine Chapel, saw Michelangelo's creation scene. He said, "Surely that must be the greatest treasure in the Vatican." Pope said, "No." He said, "Well, what in the world is it?" He pulled out his rosary. He said, "This is the greatest treasure in the Vatican." He said, "Of all devotions, the rosary has produced the most miracles." Pope Pius V established the feast day of the Holy Rosary in thanksgiving for the great Christian victory in Lepanto in 1571, where the Christians were able to defeat the Turkish fleet and brought about a great rosary victory. St. Clement Hofbauer said that he could convert the most hardened sinner if he just devoutly prayed one rosary for him. No matter how hardened the sinner was, Clement Hofbauer said, if I could just say one rosary for him, he'd be converted. St. Francis de Sales said, next to the Mass, the rosary is the most powerful prayer when you meditate on the mysteries. In fact, he prayed the rosary every day for the return of Calvinists to the Catholic Church, and during his lifetime, he was instrumental in bringing 72,000 Calvinists back into the Catholic faith. At the age of 53, Francis de Sales wanted to retire from the world, and he said, I want to take with me the two greatest weapons, my rosary and my pen. And lastly, Blessed Alain de la Roche said, whatever you ask through the rosary will be granted. God bless you.
The rosary is such a powerful prayer because it contains not only meditating upon Scripture, but the actual saying of those beautiful prayers, namely the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, the Fatima Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, and the Hail Holy Queen. And those prayers are really the most powerful prayers that we have in the Church. Well, why is the Our Father powerful? It's because Jesus Himself taught us the Our Father. And it's the perfect prayer because it was taught by our Lord and Savior Himself. And that Our Father is really the model for all prayers, calling God our Heavenly Father, acknowledging His greatness, asking Him to help us and forgive our sins, and asking Him to keep us strong so we're not tempted. And then we pray the Hail Mary, which the most part of it is also found in Scripture. Not only is the Our Father in Scripture, but the first part of the Hail Mary is also found in Scripture. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. That was said by the angel Gabriel. And he said, blessed are you among women. Elizabeth also said that. Blessed are you among women. And then Elizabeth added, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And then the Church adds that holy name of Jesus. And then the early Christians devised a prayer to our Blessed Mother. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. That was one of the prayers in the early centuries of the Church, asking Mary, who truly is the Mother of God, because Jesus, her Son, is God, asking her to intercede for us, to pray for us now and at the hour of our death. The two times when we need prayers the most, right now at the hour of our death. You know, we don't need prayers for yesterday, and we really don't need prayers for tomorrow, because that's all in the future. We just need it for the present moment and at the hour of our death. So every time you say the rosary, 50 times, you are storing up for yourselves treasure in heaven, as well as treasure at the hour of your death and right now. Because really the present moment is all that counts, is that we love God right now. We're sorry for the sins of the past. We pray to stay close to God in the future. But right now is when we need God's grace, now and at the hour of our death. And they say that on a person's deathbed, that's when Satan really pulls out all the stops and tries to, you know, at their Satan's last-ditch effort to get somebody to despair and to lose hope in God's love and mercy. That's why during life, you have to store up many graces for the hour of our death. We never know when that will be. Certainly Bishop Keating did not know that he would die so suddenly. None of us will know when we will die. So we have to pray, and I'm sure the bishop's prayers all those years did prepare him for the time when he would meet God so suddenly, because he was truly a saintly man, and we know he's up in heaven interceding for us right now, truly a very holy bishop. And so he did pray the rosary every day as well, and we should too. So we say, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. So the rosary is a little pocket catechism It's a pocket New Testament. It's a miniature life of Christ. It's also a school for sanctity. Because when we're meditating upon the mysteries, we're praying for the virtues. We're praying, for example, in the first joyful mystery, for humility. And in the second one, for love of neighbor, when we meditate upon Mary visiting Elizabeth. And we meditate upon the birth of our Lord, and we pray for the virtue of poverty, to be poor in spirit, or pray for obedience at the presentation, or for joy in finding Jesus in the finding in the temple. So no matter which mystery we're meditating upon, we can be praying for a particular virtue, faith, hope, charity, patience, perseverance, the grace of a happy death, an increase in love for God. So no matter which mystery we're praying, there is a virtue attached, and we should pray for that virtue whenever we say the rosary. Now we know that the Blessed Mother wants us to pray the rosary because of her actions when she has appeared in the apparitions. And there's a saying, actions speak louder than words. When Mary appeared in 1858 to Bernadette, you know where the rosary was? Over her arm, over her elbow. That was 1858. And she told Bernadette, when she appeared 18 times to her, pray the rosary and do penance for the conversion of sinners. 1917, Mary appeared at Fatima. Guess where the rosary was then? In her hand. It moved from her arm to her hand. And again, she said, pray the rosary every day. Well, then, Mary appeared in Barang, Belgium, 1932 and 1933. Guess where the rosary was then? In her fingertips. So from 1858 to 1917 to 1932, it was moving more and more, as if to tell us the times are getting a little bit more desperate. We need to be praying more. We need to say our rosary every day. So by Our Lady's actions, she showed us that actions speak louder than words, and that she wants us to say the rosary every day. In fact, even when Our Lady appeared to those children in Barang, Belgium, out of those 33 apparitions, most of the time when Our Lady appeared, the children fell to their knees and began praying the rosary. Afterwards, the theologians asked them, why did you so suddenly start saying the rosary? You know what they said? They said, the Blessed Mother forced us to say the rosary. They had no choice. The rosary is perhaps the greatest of all the sacramentals of Our Lady. The popes have written 503 papal encyclicals just about the rosary, more than any other topic. And that's from the years 1402 to today. 503 papal encyclicals. The feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary is October 7th, and that was because on October 7th, 1571, the Catholics won a great naval battle against the Turks called the Battle of Lepanto. And this was when Don Juan of Austria, the Catholic from Austria, led the papal fleet and led the Christian fleet against the Muslims, who were at that time were overriding Europe and destroying the Christian faith and burning churches and destroying churches and capturing the Holy Land. So this was the crucial battle. If the Christians lost this battle, all of Europe would have become Muslim and the Catholic faith would have been stamped out. So everything hinged upon this Battle of Lepanto. Well, the battle started at 11:30 in the morning and the Christians were outnumbered. And before and during this battle, the Pope had sent messages to all over Christendom to ask for the praying of the rosary, that the Christians would not lose this battle. During the battle, which lasted for about 6 hours, all of a sudden the wind changed, which gave the Christians military advantage. They were able to get the main ship of the Turks and capture and win that particular battle. And so that was really the greatest military battle in the history of Christendom, and it saved all of Europe from becoming Muslim. And out of thanksgiving to our Blessed Mother for the great battle, Pope Pius V declared that that day would be the feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary. So October 7th is the feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary because of the papal battle at Lepanto. Actually, you might have heard of the Siege of Vienna in the year 1683. This is when 65,000 Polish soldiers went from Poland to Vienna praying the rosary the whole time on horseback. And when they got there, they found that there were 250,000 Turks had taken over Vienna. And it was John Sobieski, the Catholic king of Poland, who led the battle. And he said, "The words I want on your lips when you're fighting is the words of Jesus and Mary." This was such an important battle, again, to preserve Europe from being overtaken by the Turks, and to have, would have Christianity perhaps would have been stamped out if they had won that battle. But with 65,000 men, John Sobieski won that battle against 250,000 Turks, because they believed, and we know that our Lord and the Blessed Mother were on our side to preserve the Catholic faith and preserve the Christian faith in Europe. The popes have written beautiful things about the Rosary. In fact, Pope Leo XIII, who was the Pope at the end of the last century, wrote 16 encyclicals just on the Rosary. He called the Rosary a remedy for all our evils of today's society and the root of all our blessings. He said that among the many ways of praying, there is none more excellent than praying the Rosary. You might have heard of St. Pius X. He said, "Give me 1,000,000 families to say the Rosary every day, and the entire world would be saved." He said, "Love the Rosary and pray it often." The Pope after him was Benedict XV. He was the Pope during World War I. He said 15 decades of the Rosary every single day, even as the Pope. And of course, they're much busier, more busier than me and then probably all of us put together. And yet, he was able to say 15 decades of the Rosary every day. The next Pope was Pius XI. He used to give the Rosary as wedding gifts for every couple he married at the Vatican. After him was Pope Pius XII. I'm sure some of you remember that outstanding Pope Pius XII. He also prayed 15 decades of the Rosary every single day. You remember Pope John XXIII, one of the most lovable popes of history, spoke out 38 times on the importance of the Rosary during his 5 years as Pope. He also prayed the 15 decades of the Rosary every single day. Pope Paul VI wrote many encyclicals, including devotion on about the Blessed Mother. He asked every Catholic to pray the Rosary every day for world peace. And even though Pope John Paul I was only Pope for 33 days, during that time that he was Pope, he also encouraged the praying of the Rosary for world peace. Well, now we're down to John Paul II. He has said, "The Rosary is my favorite prayer." And the Pope has given out literally hundreds of thousands of rosaries. Whenever somebody meets the Holy Father, he gives them a rosary. He blesses it and gives them a special gift of the rosary. And I believe the Pope is sort of sneaky that way, because there's a saying that whenever you make a rosary or give somebody a rosary, whenever they pray that rosary, you get a special grace. You get a special blessing. So the Pope wants 100,000 or 1,000,000 blessings, which I'm sure he's been given. Also, I've been told by certain priests or bishops that when they've gone to meet with the Pope, he gives them a rosary as well. And on one occasion, a bishop went to see the Holy Father, and he was complaining about all the problems in his diocese and what should he do about it. And the Pope reached into the drawer and gave him a rosary and said, "This will solve all of your problems." And the bishop, I guess, wrote an article and mentioned that during after he came back from seeing the Holy Father. But I remember one cute story. There was a dance over in Ireland, and there was this lovely vision in red over on the other side of the room. And this fellow had been drinking quite a bit, so he walked over to this lovely vision in red and said, "Madame, can I have the next dance?" And this person said, "Well, I can't dance for three reasons. First, I don't know how to dance. Second, this is not dance music. And third, I'm the Bishop of Galway." So apparently the other fellow had been drinking a little too much. So the there was one of my favorite rosary stories, which I didn't tell you. Last time I told you a couple rosary stories, and I remembered which ones where they were, luckily, so I didn't don't repeat them. But one of them was about Bartolo Longo. Some of you might have read about him in Modern Saints' book. He was born in 1841, and he went to the University of Naples, and he was But then when he attended the university, he lost his Catholic faith and he began to be involved in the occult and even in Satanism. And he became a Satanist and was ordained a high priest in the Church of Satan. Well, there was a friend of his named Vincent who prayed the rosary for him every day. And through Vincent's prayers every day for years, eventually Bartolo Longo began to be pulled out of the satanic cult and even came back to the Catholic faith, went back to confession, back to the sacraments, and he began to live a holy life. But he often had despair because he had sold his soul to the devil, and so he figured he could never be saved. And one day he was such in a state of despair, the Blessed Mother herself appeared to him and said, if you wish to be saved, pray your rosary every day and spread devotion to the rosary. And then, after this vision from the Blessed Mother, he did just that. He began praying the rosary every day, and he even established a shrine in Pompeii, Italy, which right now is a national shrine of Our Lady of the Rosary in Pompeii, Italy. Well, he died in the year of 1872, and actually he died in 1926, at about 80 years of age, a very holy man. And Pope John Paul II beatified him in 1980. So here we have, I think, the only former satanic high priest who is now a beatified person in the Catholic Church. And he attributed his conversion to the rosary prayed by his friend Vincent, and he attributed his salvation to Jesus and the prayers that came from the Blessed Mother and the praying of the rosary. And my own grandmother, you know, she prayed about 10 rosaries every day. She died at the age of 93, about 10 years ago. She was deaf. She was mostly blind. She could no longer read. She could no longer watch TV. All she could do was say the rosary every day. And she said about 10 rosaries a day. So I say that's the only reason why I ever became a priest, is because of the prayers of my grandmother, because she was such a saintly person. You know, there's a story of Queen Blanche of France who wanted a son, a good holy son that would be able to rule France. And she prayed every day and said the rosary every day that God would bless her with a son that would be a good Christian king. And not long after she began praying, she conceived and bore a son who became King Louis IX of France. Now we call him St. Louis, St. Louis IX. He's the one who established that beautiful chapel, Saint-Chapelle, over in Paris to hold the relics of the True Cross. He helped to build Notre Dame. He even went to fight in the Crusades to safeguard the Catholic faith. So perhaps the greatest Christian king in history was really the response of Our Lady's after Queen Blanche had prayed the rosary for so often. You know, some of you have heard of Padre Pio. Padre Pio was once asked how many rosaries he had said that day. Somebody said, did you say five rosaries? He said, no, I said more than that. They said, well, how many did you say? He said, today so far I've said 160 rosaries. Can you imagine that? If I figured it out, he could bilocate. Okay? So he could be at two places at once, so he could get both rosaries going at the same time. St. Francis de Sales, really the patron of your parish, said that when he was 52 years of age, he was going to retire from the world and spend the rest of his life with his two greatest weapons, his rosary and his pen, because he was such a great writer. So he said the rosary and his pen were his two greatest weapons. And it said that through the praying of the rosary and by St. Francis de Sales teaching the rosary, that 72,000 Calvinists were brought back to the practice of the Catholic faith through the work of St. Francis de Sales. And he attributed that to spreading devotion to the rosary. In fact, this was also what St. Dominic did, you know, years before, when the Blessed Mother had appeared to him and manifested the rosary. Before, for the 3 years that St. Dominic had gone out preaching, he hardly got any conversions. But after the Blessed Mother appeared and gave him the rosary, in 3 years' time, the following 3 years, there were 100,000 conversions to the Catholic faith from the Albigensians that had left the faith and become heretics. They were brought back, and St. Dominic attributed that to the praying of the rosary and to the power of the rosary. I mentioned last time that the rosary is like our sling. Remember David had his sling against Goliath? He picked up 5 stones and he used them to defeat Goliath. Well, the rosary is our sling to defeat the evils of our modern society. How many decades? 5 decades, paralleling the 5 stones that David picked up to slay Goliath. Some people say, well, why is there 150 Hail Marys in the entire rosary? And that's because of the Book of Psalms. If you've read the Psalter of David, there's 150 Psalms in the Old Testament. Many of the people at that time, during the Middle Ages, were unable to read. And because of their illiteracy, this was a gift from the Blessed Mother, that they could meditate upon these Hail Marys. And there's 150 Hail Marys to parallel the number of Psalms in the Old Testament. Even though the people could not read the Psalms, they had Mary's Psalter. Just as you had King David's Psalter, you have Mary's Book of Psalms, which we call the Rosary. And they could meditate upon these mysteries of the Rosary, even though they couldn't meditate upon the Psalms of the Old Testament, which were just foreshadows of the New Testament mysteries in the life of Jesus and the Blessed Mother. So I encourage you to pray the rosary every single day. And if you can, try to say it either with your family or with a group. There's a saying that whenever you pray the rosary with a group, you get the graces of everybody in that group. For example, if you say the rosary by yourself, you get the grace of one rosary. We just said it with 40 of us. It's as if we prayed 40 rosaries each, because we share in the graces of each other's rosaries. I like to think about that when Pope John Paul II, a couple years ago, about 10 years ago, led the worldwide rosary, where he had millions of people praying the rosary. That probably brought more grace down upon the world than any other single event, because all of us shared in the grace of like 1 million rosaries that were being said at that time. So whenever you say the rosary, let's say with your family of 4 or 5 people, or with a church group of maybe 10 people, you're getting the graces of praying 10 rosaries. So I encourage you to say it every day and to primarily meditate upon the mysteries, because all the saints have said that that's where you really derive the benefit from the rosary. It's not just saying the beautiful prayers of the Our Father and the Hail Mary and the Glory Be. Bishop Sheen says that's the background music. He says the heart of the rosary is meditating upon Scripture and upon the life of Christ and the Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's together join in praying a Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.